You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You're on the show. NFL Network reporter Jim Trotter. Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes. Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin. Coming up, Grammy Award winning artist Tim McGraw. Actor Courtney B. Vance. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We are on the air. Tim McGraw is about to call this program. And then Courtney B. Vance. Tim McGraw, his 16th studio album called Here on Earth is available right now. And Courtney B. Vance is in Lovecraft Country. And there is a Friday Night Lights through line here.
There is.
Yes. Tim McGraw.
Right.
Friday Night Lights.
The movie.
Along with Courtney B. Vance, starring in Lovecraft Country, Journey Smollett, who was in the last couple of seasons of Friday Night Lights, the television show.
Oh. All
right. Which, as you know, made me cry literally once a week.
I mean.
And by the way, Friday Night Lights, I am pleased to say, on Peacock, all of it. Oh, it's so good.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
All of it.
I will say the pilot of Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Amazing.
One of the best hours of TV you'll ever see.
I used to, you know, my buddy Jay, Crazy Jay.
Yep.
We used to call each other after Friday Night Lights episodes, and we'd be like, did you cry tonight? I cried tonight. Did you cry tonight? I cried tonight.
Yeah.
And the best relationships in Friday Night Lights, the TV show, was between the coach and his daughter and coach and his wife. Had nothing to do with football.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Just amazing.
Best scenes were not the football scenes.
Right. Exactly. Huh? We just had a spirited conversation about fantasy football as well. Just real quick before we go there, talk about Chris Brockman's draft where it's in a snake draft. Boy, that snake's very long. 14
very long,
teams, right. And you could choose as many, take as many minutes as you want to choose. No time limit on choosing.
Yeah, no time limit.
You received a text in a commercial break, Jason Freeman, from a friend of yours saying?
I did. My buddy Sam texted me, yeah. And he said, let me know when you go pro and do a real auction draft.
Okay, and let me just quickly handle this because Tim McGraw has phoned in. I will say this. This may be a hot take for a lot of people. Auction drafts stink. No, thank you.
Whoa, whoa,
whoa,
whoa.
No, thank you. No, thank you. As you know, 90 seconds to choose for each player. For us, too long. Auction drafts, I don't need to be there all night. Let's just pick players, get it done, boom.
All right, I'm throwing up a poll.
Auction
right
drafts.
Oh,
are,
I'm going to lose it. I know.
That's big
don't
style.
Have to throw up a poll. I know I will lose. I don't want it. We last spoke to Tim when we were in person in Nashville for an amazing NFL draft. That was remarkable that week. And the Grammy Award-winning recording artist with a new album, Here on Earth, which is available everywhere right now as it was released last week, is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that because you were on the phone. I have said it with you not being on the phone. That week in Nashville was amazing. And if the draft is, in fact, going to be like the Super Bowl where you have certain cities like New Orleans and South Florida, now maybe Los Angeles on a rotation that every now and then they've got to get it. Nashville, if the draft is like that, has to get it. Every now and then.
I agree. I think it was so much fun. You know, I remember watching the draft in Philly. I think it was maybe 2 years before that.
Yep.
And I called my manager right away. I says, look, we have to get everybody on the phone and try to get this thing to Nashville because I think we could do it well with some music and do it downtown. And, boy, it really turned out great. It was fun to be involved with it from the beginning and work on getting it there. And and just to see how well it turned out and how well the city handled it. It was pretty spectacular. I tell you, that was one of the funnest concerts I've ever had in my life out there doing that.
I wonder what it was like. I know where from my position, because you know that was the, if I'm not mistaken, because it feels like it's a million years ago, not just a year and a half.
Yeah.
But I think it was the Friday night of the draft, the second night of the draft, where as soon as it was over, you came out and you performed.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on my set, you know, off to the side of the stage, and just I couldn't see all the way down Broadway. I couldn't see the entire. What was it like from your perspective?
It was incredible because it was just, I mean, a sea of people that were just completely packed in.
Yep.
And I mean, and all the, you know, all of Broadway, as you know, has all those bars and all the neon lights and neon signs and all the balconies and everything along the road, and they were just completely packed and full of people all the way up to Bridgestone Arena, which is way up Broadway. And I mean, it was pretty spectacular. I mean, and the band and I both, when we came out, we had so much energy and we were so proud of our city and proud of the way everybody handled it. And we were proud to be a part of it, you know, because we're all huge, of course, huge football fans. And to be a part of it and be asked to go out there and do a show and do it in our hometown and do it under those circumstances and that many people to turn out, it was pretty cool. Like you say, I hope we can do it again. I talked to Mr. Goodell.
Yes.
Backstage, and I said, well, now next we have to get the Super Bowl in Nashville.
What'd he say?
He said, well, we'll have to see about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tim, Nashville almost made it to the Super Bowl.
Exactly right.
The other way around almost actually happened. That, oh, my gosh. Derrick Henry, just watching him run is truly one of the most remarkable things. What was that, watching that run for the Titans like for you and your wife and everybody, Tim?
Incredible. I mean, he's a beast, you know, and it's, you know, to be in Nashville, you know, Faith moved to Nashville in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Nashville in 1989, and it was still pretty much a small town. And when it just started, it's just been growing exponentially, you know, ever since. And then to have a football team and have a hockey team, it's incredible to see how well they've both done. And how big the fan base has grown and how supportive our community is of those franchises. So I just think it's pretty incredible to watch and to be a part of and to say that, you know, we have teams that are competitive and have players that are spectacular to watch and you know, there's always a shot, and that's a pretty good feeling when you have a team in your hometown that's like that.
Tim McGraw here on the Rich Eisen Show, new album Here on Earth, which we'll talk about in a second. I don't know if we mentioned to you when we did see you that Friday of the draft that the Rich Eisen Show crew, including me, we went karaoke.
Oh boy!
A couple nights before. Where did we go, Chris?
We went to Santa's Pub.
Santa's Pub. Yeah. You know, your reaction being, oh, boy.
Well, I'm just curious of how it went.
Well,
were great, Tim. I mean, let's be honest.
Hold on a second. So you did not hear how it went.
No, that's... I didn't hear how it went.
Well, I mean, I have a certain timbre, if I may, in my voice, that Sinatra is my bailiwick.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And
that's Tall Cotton right there.
Yes, it is. But I
mean, I wouldn't compare myself to Sinatra under any circumstances.
Well, I don't. Am I comparing myself to him? I could. I mean,
sort of.
I just kind of did. My version of That's Life, I would put up against anybody's.
Oh, I have to hear it then. I have to hear it.
Well,
maybe there's, you know, in this day and age, you know, everything's recorded. Someone has it somewhere.
Oh, we've got the video somewhere.
It is actually on the phone of my son. This is the problem of having a social media coordinator who's excellent. He actually has it. The problem is we don't have the rights to play it, and I don't want to bankrupt our entire budget for this moment.
It could be slipped into Instagram.
It could be. It's potential.
You don't want to go up against the Sinatra estate.
But all I'm saying is it's not just for me, Tim, the song. It's also the way I end. And when I sing My Way.
Oh, boy. That's a good one.
I do That's Life. It's a crowd pleaser. And then My Way. What I do is at the end, you know, I took the blows. I did it my way. And I nail it and take the microphone and throw it on the floor and walk out.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Literally walk out. But then, you know, at the end, Sinatra goes low and ends it very, you know, calmly. I come back in and finish the song. I'm a showman is basically what I'm saying to you, Tim.
That's what you have. You have to have a good beginning, a high point in the middle,
yep.
and a great ending. You know, all the stuff that happens in between, trust me, I have trouble staying on pitch all the way through a song. So if you could just start well, hit a high point in the middle, and end well, then you're doing pretty damn good.
Thank you. See, I knew I was on to something, and now I've gotten Tim McGraw to actually approve my showmanship. Tell me about this album. It's your 16th studio album, Tim, Here on Earth, and it's your first solo album in 5 years, a hell of a cover that we're showing right here from Big Machine Records. I give you the floor on this.
Yeah, you know, it's thank you. It's been a project we've been working on for 2.5 years or so, something like that. We started working on, you know, I had Faith and I did our Soul to Soul tour for a couple of years, and we also recorded our very first duets album during that time. And I started recording this album toward the end of our last leg of the Soul to Soul tour, and for a couple of reasons. I started finding some songs that were starting to form sort of a narrative for me, what I wanted to do, a big picture of life that dove, you know, sort of a 30,000-foot view of life, and then that dove down every now and then into some really intimate moments about relationships and what goes on in your head and what goes on in your heart during relationships. And but the second reason is because I found through the years that every time I spend a lot of time working with my wife, because she's, in my opinion, one of the greatest singers on the planet, it makes me better, because I'm sort of like a NASCAR trying to keep up with an Indy car when I'm on stage with her. And if I don't stay pretty close to pitch and pretty close on my game and try to keep up with her, I get that look across stages.
Oh, like, you don't want that.
Like, son, we're going to have words after the show. So I try my best not to get that look. But really, I always find that I'm way better voice than I'm typically, you know, after I've worked with her. So I wanted to take advantage of that while we were still working together to start an album. And it really is, you know, after 16 albums, it really is probably my favorite piece of work that I've done my entire career. I think it's my favorite collection of songs. We recorded it all on, you know, the old way, the analog way, and then transferred it over to the digital. So it's got a really unique warmth to it. So it's something that has a really special feel to it to me.
And again, it's where all albums can be acquired. It's available everywhere right now. What about, you know, post-pandemic, obviously, about acting, sir, about you getting it back in front of and getting on a silver screen? Is there anything from your acting career that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, gosh.
Right here.
I've tried to, throughout my career. I mean, I've done, I guess, 10 films or so, but you know, it's hard for me, because to find something that you like, that narratively you like, and then to find something that's being done or the time that you have to work, and finding something that they actually want you for, all three of those things have to come together, so it's tough to find projects. But, gosh, I'll have to go back to, you know, one of my favorites, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
I still love that movie, and it was really my first sort of big movie. I had done Flicka right before that, and then I'd done a movie called Black Cloud. Was really my first thing, but Friday Night Lights was really the first one that I really, really got a chance to play a character that I could identify with. You know, growing up in Louisiana and growing up playing football and baseball and basketball, you know, that guy was a combination of a lot of guys that I saw and knew playing ball, and it was something I could really relate to. And then working with Pete Berg and Garrett Hedlund, who's still a great friend of mine, and Billy Bob Thornton, who's still a great friend of mine. I mean, I was just thrown into the middle of a lot of great actors and it's like playing tennis or something with somebody. You know, you play to the level of the people that you're playing with. And I was lucky and have been lucky throughout my career to be able to be on screen with some really great actors who have always learned from
him. We've had Billy Bob on this show, and I love him. He's great. And didn't he have some baseball in him? Like, he had some – he had Cardinals. He's a Cardinals fan, but I think he was on pace to try and become a major leaguer, but he got hurt or something
that. I believe he was a pitcher, right, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think he had a pretty good little career going.
Right.
I think he'd make the right choice.
Yeah, well, when you got Oscar on your shelf, that kind of helps. And, you know, obviously I think you did too.
I tell you what, though, if you look back, I mean, there's – On the DVD, when Friday Night Lights come out, there was some extra stuff on there, like, you know, in between scenes and us talking and playing around. There was a scene where we had some ball players who were part of the cast who were playing ball during the football scenes, and I had cowboy boots on and Billy Bob, and I was going to be quarterback and I was going to be wide receiver. And I did a fly pattern against one of the cornerbacks who was a real ball player that was out there. And Billy Bob hit me at about a 40-yard pass that I one-handed caught. You got to go back and check that out. Because I beat the kid who was a player in cleats and pads, and I had cowboy boots on, and I beat him and made the catch.
Did you high step in the cowboy boots too?
I didn't high step. I was out of breath. But
well, again, speaking of out of breath, my performance of Sinatra, we're going to put on my Instagram stories. We're going to tag you at the Tim McGraw. Check it out, and if you want to respond in any way, shape, or form about a critique, I'm wide open. I just want to get better.
I'll respond for sure.
Sounds good. Tim, thanks again. Always enjoy our chats. Congrats on the new album.
Thank you, man. It's good to talk to you.
Right back at you. At the Tim McGraw on Twitter and Instagram. And check out Here on Earth, where all music can be acquired. Available everywhere now, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. When we take a break so we can come back and be on time for Courtney B. Vance of Lovecraft Country, one of the hottest shows that's out there from the HBO universe.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Back on NBC Sports on Peacock, and Courtney B. Vance will be joining us in a matter of moments here on The Rich Eisen Show. Just another guy who's been in studio, one of our guests that we just can't wait to have back at some point in person. You know?
Ain't that the truth?
Right?
Man.
I mean, we got so many great pictures in our hallway, and I walk through it every day, and it's not that I'm not unhappy to see you every day.
Of course, but I mean, when a big guest comes in, there's just a different vibe.
There's
in
a
the
different
studio
energy.
That day.
I know.
The energy's different.
TJ back there in the green room, quizzing him.
I missed that.
You are literally the first face that so many guests used to see here on the show.
Can I speak on that real quick?
Sure.
You gave me a compliment once, and I just kind of want to, you know, throw it out there.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to repay that to you.
No. You said something to me, and I'm sure maybe we'll get to this later. There was a time where we weren't sure if I was going to be here or not, and you were kind of talking to me about the job, and you said to me, I love the fact that you're the first person these guests get to meet.
Yeah.
When they come in here, man, that really meant a lot to me, because it was like, you know, obviously this is your show, and for you to tell me that meant that you had the utmost confidence in me to kind of represent myself and you in the right way back there. So I, you know,
thanks
you
for
said
saying
that to
that.
Me
I
a
meant,
few months ago,
I meant,
and I really appreciate
I meant only
that.
Half of it.
So I just wanted to let the people know that about you, man.
We're back in a second. Hold on. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, everybody, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show to get all of our clips, in case you're wondering. You can also check it out on Peacock. We as soon as we're done here on Peacock, the hardworking folks on that new fantastic streamer make sure that all 3 hours of our show gets reposted right on our page. So many different videos as well by sport, breaking down by topic. It's truly so easy to use, and we appreciate if everybody goes and gets it. What a fun, interesting, fascinating show. Again, talking about everything in life and in sports with Jim Trotter and Chris Haynes and the playmaker of NFL Network and Yahoo Sports and also the Hall of Fame, Michael Irvin, respectively. Just had a nice chat with Tim McGraw, and we welcome back here on the show. It was great when he was here in person a few, I think it was about a year ago, and now he is in another red-hot show. Lovecraft Country airs Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern on HBO. It premiered a couple of weeks ago. So many people are talking about it, and part of it is because of how well-acted it is. That includes Courtney B. Vance back here on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. What a wonderful segue. That was very nice, Rich. You've done this show before.
You know what? This is what I this is the only way I know how to roll. I only know one speed. I only know one speed. That's it. That's all.
I like your speed. Nice.
Well, I appreciate yours as well. I want to give you the floor on the show.
Seamless.
Because how would you describe it to people who have yet to see it? What would you say about it?
It's a family that during the 50s where black folks could not travel freely throughout the country, especially north to south, south to north. So there was a group of people who traveled the country and they scoped out places for people to do, black folks to do daily, your daily stuff. Get your hair cut, get a good meal, get a nice place to stay. Women get your hair did, you know, toes done, nails, all that kind of stuff. And so, and once they, and all those things were compiled in a book called The Green Book. And so our family does that. And on the way down there, we know what we're going into. Emmett Till didn't take it seriously when he went from Chicago down to Mississippi, and he paid the ultimate price. But we knew what we were getting into. And so we go down there, and we know the physical monsters that we'll encounter, which are the sheriffs and the policemen and the you know, folks, just folks, racist folks in general. But there are actually figurative monsters down there, and we actually are battling. Myself, Jonathan Majors, plays my nephew in Journey Smollett, who plays his good friend. We, the three of us, as we're traveling, we discover we're in the middle of some really. We're battling both the figurative and the metaphysical monsters, and it's quite quite thrilling and exciting.
When you say metaphysical monsters, you're again, that's the part about this show that is jarring when it first appears. You're talking about actual monsters. That's what you're referring to.
Yes, people, you just don't know what you're, and that's the beauty of any show is that you think you know what's going on. And you kind of do know what's going on if you watch the show and you get lulled into a sense of, oh, we know this show. We're in rhythm with the show. And then all of a sudden, bam, the show takes you in a different direction. And that's what these great limited series and these series do. They throw you. And so you're on the edge of your seat. Something's going to happen. I know something's going to happen. It didn't happen. But I know something's going to happen. So you know when they're done well, this particular genre, and it's an action flick, and you know it's a horror flick. So it's you know they're incredibly hard to do. And Misha Green and her team and the cast and crew and the producers Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams and HBO, they really, it was a struggle to find our rhythm, but we found it, and boy, did it pay off.
Well, when you find out that you get a production team, a producer team of who you just mentioned, and then you see a cast, you're absolutely, I'm sure, for somebody in your profession, you're like, okay, where do I sign? That said, when you get a script like this, did you have to read it a couple times to kind of grasp what this was?
I'm a huge Misha Green fan after
right.
The Underground. And so I wanted to be in that show. This came up to me. Misha, I sat down with her, and I knew as soon as I talked to her, I wanted to do this. So it wasn't a hard sell for me. I just wanted to be in it. I wanted to be a part of something that she was doing because I know her vision is very large. And so this one, I mean, I didn't really know the extent of what, I mean, you talk about, there's going to be monsters, Courtney, and I'm not a real big horror flick guy. Yes. I'm an action flick guy. So I just went in on faith that I knew that, when she says it's going to be done well. And it was HBO and Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams, I said, I'm in.
Courtney B. Vance here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you say action film, give me an action film. Which one? Give me a good one. When you're like, okay, I want to watch an action film. This is the one.
What the what was the one that with the blue face people and that James Cameron did that we're all waiting for number two.
Avatar.
Avatar. That's classic. That's
sure.
With the one with Harrison Ford.
Which is pretty much any. By the way, you just named every Harrison Ford film, pretty much outside of Star Wars.
I'm a huge Harrison Ford. Any of the Indiana Jones series, the Game of Thrones, is an action series.
By the way, to be on an HBO show too, Courtney, and Michael K. Williams, part of the cast member. I love
Andrew Ellis, Umi,
right.
Zaka, Zaku, just with the cast is stellar.
No doubt. I mean, Michael K. Williams, for fans who of HBO shows might know, he was played Chalky White in Boardwalk Empire, but of course Omar from The Wire. Which is one of Omar is one of the greatest characters in TV
classic.
History, you could say. You could really make a case
classic.
For that, for sure. So, Courtney B. Vance here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're from Detroit. Does that make you a Lions fan? I don't know if we had this conversation before, but have you?
We probably did, but I think I let you know before. They just took too long for me. I had to move on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just they have never won anything, and I wish I could hang with them, but I left a long time ago.
Okay.
I love my city. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lions. I'm sorry.
No, I know. And you have a couple of Ivy League schools on your diplomas on your wall. So, do you have? Is there a sports team of yours that you kind of dig that you've followed? Used to anything that?
I was a Patriots fan for the longest time. But I was Mr. Brady was my guy. But he's moved. So I think I have to go down to Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And that's where the Super Bowl is this year. So I'm down there. The Clippers are my team in basketball. Yankees are my team in baseball. I think I've created enough enemies already. Do I need to stop that?
No, I'm a Yankee fan. And TJ Jefferson, my social media grand maester, to use the phrase from Game of Thrones, is a big-time Clipper fan who loves the Mets, and I tried to get him off the Mets and go to the Yankees earlier today, just on this very program, about 2 hours ago.
You're not going to do that. That's like the Sox and the
Cubs.
The Cubs,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. For sure. So, do you have any thoughts on what on the NBA deciding to stop playing for a few days?
They had to do something. Somebody had to say something, and they made a statement. The GOAT, the greatest of all time, got in there with the owners, and they let them know. Just let the guys talk. Let them talk. You got to let them talk, and you guys got to listen, because this is bigger than the game. The life is bigger than the game. And so they came to a decision that they made a statement, and then they were going to get back to playing. But it is. I was encouraged that it was across the board. It was baseball, tennis, golf, soccer. Everyone is taking a stand and saying that's enough. That's enough. And so it is whether or not they threw the whole season. I think they made the compromise when they all got together and talked it through that it was enough. We had to make a statement. We had to say something. We just couldn't keep playing and not say something, which is what, with the usually a president that stands up and comments on something, says something to bring the country together. We're going to get through this together. We're going to find out what happened and just be calm. Nobody, nothing. And so that's why we're where we are now. There's nothing in the center. Nobody is speaking calm who is as a moral authority, because there is none right now in the White House. There is no moral authority.
Courtney B. Vance here on The Rich Eisen Show, the Emmy Award-winning actor from the American Crime Story show, People versus O.J. Simpson, from a couple years ago that was so remarkable and amazing, and you playing Johnny Cochran in it, amazing. Did you learn anything about how did you prepare for that character, as we all know?
I jumped in, Rich. I jumped in because I didn't want to feel that I was in my head imitating him, so I read Jeffrey Toobin's book, and then I jumped in. Read it a couple of times, and I jumped in, and I got a kernel. That was all I needed. And I knew that the scripts were great, that were the 10 scripts that were written for our episodes. And I thought that what I didn't get, the audience would forgive me it because the scripts were so good. So that worked for me this time. So sometimes, you know, you have to do your research and hang with the genius Aretha. We're doing on Nat Geo. I'm playing C.O. Franklin,
right.
Aretha Franklin's father, Reverend C.O. Franklin. That one I had to do the research. I had to jump in and do the research and do, you know, spend some time and try to get his rhythms down because I'm preaching and singing. So it was a much more involved process. But the Anthony Hemingway was with us for the OJ piece, and he's with us on the Genius Aretha. And he's my guy. I'm very proud to be a part of this together with him. And we're going to try to get back to, we didn't finish shooting it, so we're going to try to get back sometime next month or the month after and bring it home.
It's awesome. Last one for you here. I'm going to jump way back. How old is Sean Connery turned 90 this week? Is that a true story,
that's
Chris?
That's true.
Wow.
90 years old. It's 1990,
wow.
The famed Hunt for Red October. I don't know if you were in many scenes with him, but you got any good Connery stories from the set?
Yes, absolutely. He had just had throat surgery. And so, you know, back in that day, there was all this atmospheric smoke. It was terrible for you. I don't know how any of us survived it. Mm-hmm. But when he wasn't on the set, it was they smoked it up. We could barely see each other. There was so much smoke on that set. But when he was on the set, we just heard someone just scream out, "Sean's on the way!" And because he had let everybody know early on, he said, "You got me for a month, and there's no smoke. I want no smoke." So he got on the set. Everyone had a fan, and everyone was waving their, you know, their scripts and whatever, just to clear the air. But before he got on the set, because he would walk away if there was any smoke in there. So that was all. That was very, very classic, classic Sean Connery telling everybody that you only got me for a month, and when I'm here, there's no smoke.
And that had to be, you know, you were, I think we discussed this maybe the last time you were on, but I kind of have a new audience right now anyway. That must have been one of your first gigs. Obviously, you were in Hamburger Hill before that, which is a remarkable film, but that had to be a first biggie. You want to talk about action movies? I mean, my gosh, that had to be pretty big for you to be on a set like that, and here comes Sean Connery, smoke or not, you know, that had to be...
Right.
Huge for you. That had to be big.
Yeah, that was big. It was very difficult to get into because I read the book several times and I was I wanted that role so bad. But I was doing a play at the Public with Joe Papp.
Yep.
And my agent at the time let the general manager of the Public know that if the role comes up, you know, he should be allowed to go. And the general manager, yep, no problem. He'll be able to. But of course, the general manager never told that to Joe. And so, of course, it came up. I got the role, and the agent calls the general manager and says, "He's got the role, he's got to go." And the general manager says, "No." Because I had replaced Joe Morton in this play. So the general manager didn't want to let me go. So I had to go up and talk to Joe, and he's telling me why I couldn't go. And I'm saying, I just knew in my spirit, I'm out. So by the time I got back downstairs to get ready to do the show, they told me to. Sam Cohen at ICM at the time, God rest his soul, called Joe up and the general manager, and the Sam Cohen said, "You got to let him go, Joe." Joe said to the general manager, "Did you tell him he could go if this movie came up for him?" And the general manager had to admit he did.
There you go.
And let me go.
And off you went. And now Lovecraft Country, the latest on your remarkable filmography and all the TV shows that you have been doing. Courtney B. Vance on Twitter and Instagram at Courtney B. Vance. Thank you for joining again. Always appreciate our chats.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. You're smooth, smooth, smooth.
I will take all three of those smooths. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Yes, best to you and your family. We'll chat again soon, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Right back at you. Courtney B. Vance, Lovecraft Country on HBO Sundays, 9 Eastern time. The Hunt of Red October. That is so, the hunt. What did I say? The Hunt of?
Hunt for Red October.
What did I say? Hunt of?
Yeah. It's all right.
Oh, my God. The Hunt for Red October. One ping, Vasily. One ping. That's it. So good. My gosh. Is that a remote drop for you? It's close to it for me. Like, you got to see the end of it.
Yeah. I like Crimson Tide also. Talk about submarine movies.
Do you know how many people probably make
confuse
those two?
Yeah.
I would take. You want to put that as a poll question?
Crimson Tide is Denzel and Gene Hackman.
I know.
Right. I'm just for the audience.
I know. Yeah. I kind of take Hunt for Red October over Crimson Tide. Although Gene Hackman and Denzel.
Pretty great.
Oh, my gosh.
I have the con.
Right. But this is, we're talking Alec Baldwin.
Right. And Sean Connery.
And Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And this is like right around post Glengarry Glen Ross Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, this
like
is,
right around
this
there, like, early on Alec Baldwin.
This is like peak fit. Dark, slick.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
I'm saying Alec's not in the best shape.
By the way, Alec Baldwin, available right here on Peacock, as all of 30 Rock is here. But when was the last time you saw 30 Rock?
It's been a while.
Oh, go down that wormhole. They are still so damn funny.
I mean, Jack Donaghy is one of the peak characters of all time.
Right here on Peacock, where we're seeing every single day from 12 to 3 Eastern time. Oh, by the way, a great new feature involving Jay Cutler when we come back. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, GEICO.com. Back here on Peacock, we'll take some phone calls to wrap things up on our show. And my gosh, just seeing video during the commercial break. We'll hit it in a second, too, about Brandon Marshall. One of our favorites. We have a lot of favorites.
We have a lot of favorites.
Brandon Marshall helped me run the 40-yard dash a few years ago. Lovely guy. And There's a video involving him and his family right now on Rex Chapman's feed that I'm assuming it was on Brandon's too. But we'll get to that in a second. Chris Paul spoke today. Is that what you said too? We'll
yes,
get to that.
Chris Paul spoke.
Get to the phone calals as well. We'll have a little bit of fun when the NBC Sportsnet audience rejoins us in a second. So Don, get that Cutler video ready. We'll get that up first. Back here on NBCSN, SiriusXM Radio. We're the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, coast to coast, terrestrial radio. We're building it on the mightier 1090 Southern California. We appreciate their partnership. And, of course, Peacock, finishing up our first week on Peacock here. And we'll have a best of the week rollout shortly. By the way, our week began with a FaceTime from Shaq on Monday to confirm if he was on the show later on. He was. And then it ended with Joe Manganiello with a FaceTime in today's show to tell us that he did in fact call Ben Roethlisberger to tell him to shave his beard off as he told us on Wednesday's show. So, I mean, we got bookends. And because again, we spent five plus years. This is our sixth year that we're going to have our sixth anniversary come up to get into our seventh year coming up in October. Mm-hmm. So much, about our ground up was built around terrestrial radio on audience, that now that we're streaming on Peacock, and that is our main method of communicating and will be for the fall and spring and all that, we're going to be a little bit more of a television show. That's where we're from, right?
Right on.
We want to be a little more visual. We want to be social. We want to be visual. We want to be locked in visual. We have become fascinated with and by Jay Cutler's Instagram feed. And it was started by, it's If Jay Had Instagram, isn't that what
so
it's called?
So it started by his now ex-wife, Kristen right. Cavallari, the reality right. TV star. And it would just be random pics of Jay when they're on vacation or
because
around
Jay
the
would
house.
Never do Instagram.
No, he doesn't care about any of that stuff. But now that he is a free man and...
And now he's...
And a dad. He is... Being a dad and...
He's all over Instagram.
All over it. It's
and,
so funny.
And he's great at it. And so we decided... Each and every Friday, we're going to do This Week in Jay Cutler's Instagram.
Fantastic.
Roll it.
I spent the last 2 weeks watching Yellowstone. At the end of it, the only logical thing I felt I could do was they turn this thing around. Guess you can't. Let's get some of these guys. Hey guys, we're home. Come on. Let's go. You too, Hank. Move it.
She's hogging it. Oh, calm down.
Hey, Hank. Ribs.
I don't think you guys know how to swim, do you?
What you doing, girl?
No.
No. Going the wrong way.
Good news, though. Jimmy's on his way. We need a Wrangler. We're getting a Wrangler. Bad news. John said no horses. More good news. I don't have horses. Jimmy's got to wrangle these guys somehow. So, next best thing, mini bike. Put Jimmy on this little bad boy, and you wrangle these little mini cows all day long.
So Jimmy balked at riding this bad boy. I think it's 3 horsepower. I'm not entirely accurate about that. I'm just going to go with it. So, we saw what... We saw what happened last time I rode a horse, so I can understand his hesitation. Next best thing, balance bike. He can put his feet down, control himself. Problem solved, Jimmy. Let's do this.
I mean, Jay. He's also been cooking all week, and he's been posting the recipes.
Well, I think we just, Mike Hoskins of the Rich Eisen Show staff, I think he just decided to focus on the mini of it all.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The bikes and then the mini cows, which apparently, by the way, great. I love that. Apparently was inspired by Yellowstone, which, by the way, you can see right here on Peacock.
We're everywhere.
Peacock's deep. Got a deep lineup. But so watching Yellowstone inspired him to get mini cows?
And hats, too, apparently.
Okay. I'll buy that. Well done, Jay Cutler. So I think, it's
got free time.
Every Friday, we're going to see what's Jay been up to. So you keep on creating that content, Jay Cutler.
Did I miss who Jimmy was?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's one of his son's names.
He kept talking Jimmy, but we
part
never
of me
saw
was
Jimmy
thinking
or...
like to call Hoskins and say, "Can we put this in context a little bit more?" But I think the out of context it just adds to the enjoyment of
sure
Jay
that's
Cutler's
how he
Instagram.
Presented it.
This week in Jay Cutler's Instagram.
Also, instead of mic drop, we have bike drop.
Bike drop, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Brockman, that's what we call kind of next level.
Thank you,
Alan Dallas. How you been, Albert? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I guess Cutler making $122 million, with a divorce coming. I guess he's got to get himself back out there.
Hey, Al, I don't know if you were on the phone. I don't know if you could see, but those mini cows were stroaming around a house near a beautiful in-ground pool. I mean, so.
Pool house?
Pool house.
Might not be his for too much longer.
Nice.
Hey, listen, Crazy Ivan all day long over the picket fence.
Nicely done. And the Crazy Ivan, that's a great Hunt for Red October reference. I like it.
I wanted to, your show has been touching multiple bases this week, and I want to commend TJ and yourself for really hammering home the importance of such dialogue. And TJ made an unbelievable point about how he conducted himself and handled himself in the face of dealing with such things. And I've heard on your show Brandon Marshall a couple of times talk about the battles that he's had personally with mental health and all that stuff. And this is a prime example of when a situation, when the guy's trying to move into his house, minding his own business, to be quite frank, and if it was a bad day or an off day or some situation happened, this could be a horror story and totally unnecessary. So that's why, you know, all politics aside, left, right, middle, conservative, Republican, Democrat, we just got to cool out a little bit and relax, man, because this could have turned into a really bad situation.
Al, thanks for the call. You be well. What Al's referring to is something that I saw during the commercial break in the state of Florida. This is on Rex Chapman's feed, which has just been such a must-have, must-follow, our buddy Rex. The Kentucky Wildcat, great in a decade and a half in the pros, the NBA. And so he put this video up. I'm imagining it came from Brandon Marshall's video, from his social media feed. But it's Brandon moving into his new home and being prevented from moving into his new home by security, who is standing in the door mouth of his new home on the phone, calling to see if it's okay for him to move in. They called the police because we are, again, only left to assume that a tall black man in dreads is being prevented from moving into his home, because why would a black man with dreads have a net worth of damn near 20 million bucks and a rightful ownership of a home in this community? There's no other way to call it than whatever he was being subject to, racial profiling. Call the cops. And apparently, according to the video from Rex, Brandon's kids are in the car. I have a photograph of the day I moved into my new home about 4 years ago of my children smiling, standing in the door. Took a picture of all three of them in the door of the front door of our new home so we could have this photograph forevermore. Nobody stopped me from moving in. Nobody called the cops when there was moving vans in front of my house. And I don't have a memory that will last forever, and neither do my children, of somebody preventing me from moving in and standing in the doorway of my new home that I bought with my millions, like Brandon Marshall did. WTF is the only way to put it. And I'm so sorry that Brandon and his family had to deal with whatever they're trying to grasp right now. I just can't even say it. Norman in Pittsburgh, let's get you on here. What's up, Norman?
Hi, Rich. First time caller. I found out about you by through Dan Patrick.
Okay.
Because you were on his show one time.
Yes.
But I wanted to, I'm 77 years old, and I just want to tell you about an experience I had when I was in the military in 61 to 63. That was before civil rights. I remember we would go into town, and with my, try to go in with my black friends, and you could not do that. The whites had one section of town, the blacks had another section of town. If we wanted to go to a concert, we couldn't. And the white section of town would be a country group. If we'd want to go over to the black section, was James Brown and singers like that, but we weren't allowed to go over there. And there was like men's bathrooms and women's bathrooms and colored bathrooms. And I know we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. I used to have my friends from the north that were black, and the people that were from the south were completely different, that were black. I mean, they were afraid to even talk to us because we were from the north. And I just wanted to pass that along to you. And I know it's been a long time ago, but things have to get better someday.
I agree. Maybe today's that day, even though it's certainly not. And thank you for the call. Certainly
it's not.
It's certainly not there in Brandon Marshall's new home. Tim in San Diego, let's take your call. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Rich. Unlike your earlier caller, Sean, I am a regular watcher of your show every day.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Tim. We'll take
it. Years.
Thank you.
My story that's relative to the conversation for the last couple of days is that I'm an Irish guy, but I'm married to a Latina woman. Mrs. Tim is Latina. And we live in a largely Latin community, and I have four kids. And my son, in elementary school and in junior high, his best friend was a black kid. And there wasn't a lot of them in his schools. And he and his friend, the stories my son used to have to tell when he would come home, the stuff that they used to yell at them, say to them to their faces and yell to them across the yards and everything like that. And he came home scuffed up a number of times from little tussles and everything. And I told my son, you know, your cuts and bruises are going to heal, but your buddy can never unhear those words. And shut you, he's going to be scarred for life. And so I sat those kids down and I said, you know, I don't ever want to wipe tears off your face again. I don't want you guys to ever cry about this. Just know that both our families got your back. And, you know, that's my story that's relative to this whole thing going on. And so thanks for your time. I do want to say one other thing to lighten up the last thing. That picture of Ben Roethlisberger earlier, I'd be a lot less worried about that beard than I would be about those bangs.
You know what, Tim? I'm unfortunately the last one that can comment on bangs, so I'll just have to leave it there and appreciate your phone call. Thanks for the call. Bested Mrs. Tim, as you referred to her. There's Ben right there. Oh, boy. The phone line's light. Look, we're done with our show week. I don't even know how to wrap it up, I'll be honest. Because it has been a joyful week for us here. We spent all of 2020 dealing with so much personally here on this show, with the pandemic and what's going on in our own worlds and our own households, and then professionally with this show and where would we find a home, and NBC Sports giving us a home for the spring, and would that be something that could be extended, and would we have a show, and is there, we have our show family, I'd like to say. Right? We have a family, right?
We're just, yes.
Okay, thanks for backing me up.
I thought that was rhetorical.
You know, so it's a joyful week for us here that we are in Peacock, and then we see what we have in front of us with Peacock and our NBC Sports colleagues. We're thrilled to be able to call them friends. And it's exciting for us. And then we do have a responsibility to have a conversation with this platform that is not sports, but it is in the sports world because it's the real world crashing in a tour department of the sports world, and people like their sports without the real world. They want to live in the toy department, but as you know, the stick to sports world to me is dead. So we have to have these conversations, and I am thrilled to have the platform with which to do it, where UTJ can tell everybody that you have an experience as a black man in this country that I, as a white man in this country, do not have to think about. But I, as a white man, need to make sure that your experience as a black man in this country is as equal to anybody's, and that we do not, as a society, see race. And that is what so many people do love about the sports world, is it does not matter what your race, color, or creed is when it is you standing at the plate, or you needing to catch a football, or you scoring a touchdown. So that is, I guess, our message, is if we can all just be equal and see each other equally and make sure that those who might not feel that way understand why they should. And we'll see you on Monday.
Well, here we are on lockdown. How are you? It's Booker of the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker. We get it. We know you're bored. We're still doing shows. We're keeping you up to date with everything entertainment. A little bit of relief from everything that's going on in the world. You could get the show on Spotify. You could get it on your Apple Podcasts or the Podcast One app. Whatever you do, download and subscribe and get the PHP, the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker, and everything that's entertainment will be covered.